Welcome to Star Guys, a podcast about Stargirl on DC Universe and the CW. This is the bonus episode for Justice Society of America, where we talk about even more things about the episode. I am Alex.
I'm Justin, and we have even more things about this episode. Even more! It's like 31 flavors plus.
I'm Pete.
Oh, hey, Pete. What of the 31 plus flavors, what's your favorite plus flavor?
Ooh, wow, he's thinking.
Disney Plus?
Oh, yeah. That's the one that tastes like not enough content for adults.
Oh. Yeah, that's the flavor that tastes like riding the Mandalorian for too long. You know what I'm talking about? Sort of like Baby Yoda is riding the Mandalorian for too long.
Hey, man, they're doing a behind-the-scenes series on Frozen 2, which is what everybody's been asking for. So that's coming. So don't cancel your subscription quite yet. Oh, also Hamilton.
Oh, God.
People are...
I can't... Hamilton's coming. That's exciting. I just can't wait for my kids to really enjoy the behind-the-scenes of Frozen 2. Their latest addiction.
Daddy, yeah. What did Josh Gad do when he was in the recording booth?
That would, honestly, seeing that would be shattering and would ruin the whole experience to my personal detriment.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe don't do that then. Instead, let's talk about a couple of other things rolling off of this Justice Society of America episode. Now, the episodes are pretty much synced up at this point. If you watch it on DC Universe or CW, there might be a couple of seconds here and there that are different, but it's pretty much exactly the same length. Instead, what we're going to do is we're going to chat about some of the villains that were introduced or officially introduced in this episode, specifically Sportsmaster, Tigress, and maybe if there's time, we'll talk a little bit about the Gambler. Good old Colonel Sanders on a steamboat himself. Good old Steamboat Willie, I like to call him. I'm going to keep talking.
Yeah. What is his villain power that he has a small gun? Is that...
Tiny guns.
I mean, that's not easy because there's like, you got to hide that up your sleeve. Right. And you're walking around with a gun up your sleeve all day long. That can go off at any point.
Yeah. And the real superpower is not shooting people. He's a hero.
And they always say it takes a good guy with a sleeve to take down a bad guy with a sleeve.
Oh, don't.
That's right.
Yeah. No.
Nothing up my sleeves. Guns.
Well, let's talk about the Gambler first, actually. We were going to leave him only if we had a little extra time at the end, but we're talking about him. Let's chat about him. This is a character that I feel like in DC Comics I've only ever really seen is like they fight him at the beginning of an issue and then they move on to something else.
Yes, he's very much like the Royal Flush Gang, where it's like, let's beat this chump real quick so the hero can deal with some other issue.
Yeah, I mean, even there was a point when he was running. It's fine. There are children in the background. It's all good. They're asking. Sorry. They want to know. They want to know about Inside Frozen 2.
She ran in and said the Mandalorian feels like overrated and a little too sparse, just plot-wise. That's what she just said.
Oh, wow. Come on, man. Come on.
Pete, you coming for Justin's daughter?
Yeah. Come on, Justin's daughter. Come on.
Yeah. So there was a point with the Gambler.
Give it a chance, Justin's daughter.
There was a point where the Gambler did actually run the Royal Flush Gang, which if you don't read the DC Comics regularly, they also are a gang that are like, we're dressed up like a suit of cards and we fly around on cards and we get beaten up and then they move on to somebody else. So it definitely makes sense that they work together.
But they're confidence boosters. You know, that's like, you know, for the rookie hero who's not sure of themselves, you know, you throw the Gambler at them, they beat them easily, then they get their confidence up and they're ready to take on real supervillains.
I feel like the main way that I know the Gambler, we might have talked about this on the podcast before, but there is that one Starman flashback story where you see, is it the original Starman and Sandman? It's in the Stars and Sand
That's correct.
Story where he shows up as one of the main antagonists that they're fighting. And he's great there, but they kind of sell it as like this very antiquated old timey villain. So it's interesting that they brought him back for the show.
And to make him, I mean, that's what I sort of want to say about all of these villains is they are goofy. They're like, they're not scary villains. And the fact that they
Icicle's
make them,
pretty scary.
Yeah, I'm talking about the three that were featured in this episode. Icicle is scary, I agree. But even him in this episode, he's played opposite as well because he has this sentimental storyline. And then you have the gambler, Sportsmaster, and to a lesser extent, Tigress, who are these broad, like, goofy, powered villains, but they're so sinister, devastating, cruel. Like, I love that. I think it's so smart to play it that way.
It is interesting that Stargirl starts 10 years earlier. Like, I think you need to do that for regular lifetimes of human beings, even if they have superpowers. But it feels like they could have made a lot of hay for about, like, this originally started in the 1960s. And then, you know, I guess at this point, 60 years later or whatever, they're catching up with this plan. That wouldn't have made a lot of sense because they would have been alive for too long. But that's the sort of thing where you could have played off, like, this kitsch that they keep referring to. They keep talking about everybody's names on the show and how silly they are across the board. So I don't know. That might have been kind of fun, but I understand why they didn't make that choice. Right, Pete?
Yeah, I just think that, like, you know, as Justin said, the fact that they're so angry and so mean right off the bat is interesting because they are kind of laughable. Like, you know, the Sports Center guy is just, you know, it's comical to see him, like, throw exploding baseballs or to kind of, like, everybody stops where they watch his shuttlecock go up and then down to explode. It's kind of ridiculous, but if they kind of lean into it, it can be a little campy fun.
Well, I think they are leaning into it. You know, they're not totally making it like Batman 66 or anything like that, but the actors are clearly having a blast when they're playing these characters, and I think they're allowed to be a little cheesy, be a little silly, and that's okay. Now, but let's, on that note, let's talk about Sportsmaster a little bit. This is another character that, again, I really don't think that I've read any comics with Sportsmaster in. He's somebody that I've always been aware of and conflated with NFL Super Pro, who's a Marvel Comics character, kind of in my mind of like, these are sports characters. And then it sort of stops it there. But he was actually first created in 1947. So he's been around for a while. And at the time, the only weapon he had was one of those hoops with a stick, because that was the only game they played back then.
Oh, boy. Oh, come on, man.
Come on.
Come on. I do think that
Peach Basket Man, they called him.
I think that it's interesting that, like, I looked it up, you know, the powers and all that of SportsCenter, and it just literally says, like, good at sports. It's kind of ridiculous.
Well, I think I do like that take of, like, he was a pro athlete, he got frustrated and turned to crime, but when you you push it a little bit more, it becomes a little ridiculous. There was one that feels very problematic looking back at it. There was, this was pre-Zero Hour, so I guess he was like post-Crisis on Infinite Earths, but before they rebooted the continuity again, called Victor Gover. But he was an African-American football player who had photographic reflexes and used them for crime. I was reading into his storylines a little bit, and there was a Suicide Squad issue. I did remember this issue, Suicide Squad 58, where they're protecting a writer who is essentially Grant Morrison, and it's, what's his name, Jerry Ordway, I think was the main writer behind Suicide Squad, was basically making fun of Grant Morrison, and he ends up dying by the end of the issue. So I remember reading that, and Sportsmaster is a member of the Suicide Squad in that. But, like, I don't know, having a bad guy African-American ex-football player is not great optics, so I'm glad they changed that. Do you guys remember any Sportsmaster storylines? Is there anything that...
No. I feel like he's even, like, we were talking about how, like, Gambler is a punchline at the beginning of an issue and then the hero moves on. I feel like Sportsmaster is just a joke that is used. Like, oh, yeah, I think I ran into Sportsmaster. Like, it's just an off-panel joke. So he's even worse.
They used him in, like, Young Justice in the, you know, like the animation shows every once in a while, but that's the only real time I've ever really run into him.
Well, let's talk about one that, at least in a very different way, I know that I'm more familiar with, which is Tigress, who is another one of those characters. She's been around for a really long time. First showed up actually in Action Comics number one in 1938 as Paula Brooks.
Wow.
I don't even know if she had a name at that point. She was just Tigress. And then eventually she was became Paula Brooks, who I think is the name of the character in the show. I'm not 100% sure. And then ultimately Artemis Croc, maybe this is a little bit of a spoiler for the show, but Artemis Croc took over that identity. From the comic books, the Artemis Croc identity is mostly the one that I know because she showed up in Geoff Johns' JSA run. She was part of the Injustice Society.
And she invented Crocs, right?
Yeah. And Crockpots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy that the inventor of Crocs also invented Crockpots, because those are two very different fields.
Well, one fun fact that you'll appreciate, Pete, about Artemis Croc, the artist who created her was Todd McFarlane.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's Infinity fun. Incorporated.
Yes.
Back is his finest work.
It's funny though that I mean, maybe this is hilariously funny and you guys are going to lose your shit when I tell you this. The main way that I know Tigress is actually from Gotham, where there was a character called Tabitha Gallivan who was called Tigress, and she was basically called Tigress because she used a whip that everybody was like, oh yeah, that's the whip that Catwoman eventually is going to get, and she's going to use a whip, which is what happened. She taught her how to use a whip. That was a character that had basically nothing to do with Tigress, but was great. Like, Pete, you watched Gotham, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's an audio podcast, right? You could talk on it instead of looking at me angrily through Skype. Just you watch the show.
Also,
I'm freezing a little bit, and there's a little delay. Okay. So as much as you're reading into my facial expressions or whatever, it's not as bad as it sounds.
Right.
US.
Okay, sorry.
You look like you're on the witness stand being accused of a major crime, and Alex is crushing the cross examination.
Oh shit! They know I watch Gotham. I'm cooked.
Exactly. Don't say it. All right, I watched Gotham, you idiot. What do you want from me?
I watched all 5 seasons.
You can't handle the Gotham.
I shipped Enigma and Penguin. So what of it? But Tabitha Gallivan on Gotham was actually pretty good. Like, she was in a relationship with Commissioner Gordon's ex-wife for a while. That was one of the best relationships on the show. She was super fun. But she didn't have the spot on her eye or anything like that. And she wasn't she was kind of an expert martial artist, but mostly she was just a fiery, good fighter. And that was pretty much it. It's funny, I think, like, based on what we're talking about here, Sportsmaster is clearly well-defined by, like, I use sports equipment. And Gambler is like, I'm a gambler. But Tigress, I don't know what Tigress is.
That's the weirdest part of it, because she's not a tiger.
Right.
Yeah, she's not part animal at all. She just has, like, really good reflexes and sharp nails is what it says in Wiki.
Yeah, and maybe I was missing something, but, like, even the original Tigress who fought Zatara a lot just wore a striped shirt, and that was pretty much it. Like, again, she wasn't Cheetah. She wasn't an animal-themed character. It feels like such an obvious DC Comics reboot to be like, yeah, I'm the new Tigress, and I got tiger powers, and I live in the jungle. But they've never gone that way, which is kind of fascinating.
Well, let me throw it out. Maybe because there's literally a Marvel character called Tigress who is a tiger.
Wait, Tigra. She's Tigra.
Oh, Tigra.
Yeah, that's very different.
That's right. Very different.
Yeah, wow, Justin. You're really slipping.
Embarrassing. God, I should go to jail. I'm on the stand now. And, I do think that it's like a very first draft character from 1938 to be like, yeah, she's a real tigress, I'll tell you that. She fights Zatara, who's a magician. And this is a backup in a story about Superman, who's about to become very popular.
Yes, absolutely. I think I'm excited to see what they do with her, though. I really like her on the show. I like these characters on the show. They're fun villains. It's going to be fun to see what they got going forward. All right.
I mean,
go ahead, Pete.
You, you just got to feel for the other parents whose kid wants to play football. You know, I mean, the coaches keep changing every 2 weeks. They keep offing
it's
all these coaches.
They kill them. They kill
I know
them.
That's what I'm saying. It's got to be frustrating being on this kid's team. You know, it's
oh,
like, man,
the
every
players.
Time the coach, you know, yells at this star quarterback, they end up disappearing. Oh, well.
That's very true. It's not a good way of running a high school, and I think we can all agree on that. And we're going to take a stand as a podcast.
I like that, Pete, on this podcast, talking about small town America, you seem to really be constantly falling on the side of the residents. you don't even agree with the heroes. You're like, yeah, these football players, what are they going to do? And the kids at the science fair need to be working with more chocolate.
Yeah, let's talk about
Get the janitor episode.
Before we wrap up here, actually, we should probably talk about the biggest villain in the episode, Mikey, who wasted all that candy, making a volcano.
Yeah.
Oh, don't you say wasted. He used all of it. He ate everything.
Everything.
You
want to
talk about waste?
Like
those kids are making.
Do you think, be honest, Pete, do you think he ate the plastic tube in the middle of the volcano?
Oh, yeah.
No, he's going to use that to make another volcano.
Classic goat person behavior. He is a goat person.
Exactly. He's like Pac-Man for those fucking Skittles. He's like Pop-Tart Pac-Man.
On that note, I think we could wrap up this episode of Star Guys. If you'd like to support us, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday at 7 p.m. to Crowdcast and YouTube. Come hang out. We'll chat with you about Stargirl. Star Guys Pod, socially on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, iTunes, Android, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice to subscribe and listen to the show. ComicBookClubLive.com for this podcast and many more. We'll see you next time on Star Guys.